Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast this week. We're trying something a little different. At the end of the podcast, we are actually going to have a performance. Justin Fancy from Newfoundland will be joining us a little bit later on. Right now, we are joined by Lainey Wilson. Lainey is a country artist out of Louisiana. How are you?
Oh, I'm just excited to talk to you.
Nice. You have the coolest accent. I know you hear that all the time, but it's so good, man.
It's thick, isn't it? It's there.
Where are you calling? Where are you today? Where are you hanging out?
I'm in Nashville.
Okay.
I'm in Nashville today. I've been here for a few weeks. I'll probably go home to Louisiana here in a couple more, but just hanging out, man. Where are you right now?
I'm in Moncton, New Brunswick, which is north of Maine. And when I tell people we're north of Maine, like a lot of people from the U.S. are just like, what? You can go north of Maine? Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. I love it.
All right, so
freezing cold.
It's minus. I can't do Fahrenheit. It's minus 20 something Celsius with the wind today. I don't know. I'll think about the conversion.
I have no idea, but that just sounds.
It's cold. All right, so when you go home, when you go back to Louisiana, do you pick up the accent? Does it get thicker, or is it kind of like you just always have a thick accent?
It's honestly always like that. And I don't know if it's because I talk to my family so much back home or what, but you know, I've been in Nashville for going on 10 years now. And I thought at some point in time, it would kind of fizzle away, but man, it hadn't gone anywhere.
It's not. So good. It's so good. Do you speak French at all? I know there's a lot of Cajun roots in Louisiana.
I do not. Honestly, you know, I really wouldn't even consider myself Cajun. I feel like when you get to about like Baton Rouge down to like in Louisiana, mm-hmm. then that's kind of when, you know, that dialect kind of like picks up. But to be honest with you, since I'm from North Louisiana, I'm just redneck.
Okay. So you don't live down with the Cajuns.
I do have a lot of Cajun family members though.
Yeah. They're all a little crazy. It's okay. It's okay. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yes, they are.
I think we could say that. have you been to Mardi Gras, and can you tell us a story from Mardi Gras, or is it all stuff that just sort of has to stay there?
What happens in New Orleans stays in New Orleans, except for a few things I can come back with you if you're not careful.
That's right.
No, I've had so much fun. I've been to several Mardi Gras, and man, it's just a completely different world down in New Orleans. I mean, it truly is. It's a world of its own.
Yeah. I mean, it's on my bucket list. I haven't been yet, but I'd love to go hang out in the French Quarter and stuff like that. Just like, I guess the amount of music, I mean, I've been to Nashville and there's music everywhere there, but there's just so much music in New Orleans too.
It is a lifestyle for sure. It's just like, everywhere you turn around, you're hearing jazz and blues, and it's just so much fun. It is. And the food's incredible. I mean, you got to go, man. I'm telling you. As soon as you can, when the world kind of opens back up, got to go.
Do you have any favorite Louisiana dishes that either you cook or you love when your family cooks for you?
I love crawfish. I love crawfish etouffee. I love jambalaya. Oh, man, I love a little bit of everything. I love just chicken and dumplings. I love cornbread. Oh, I'm making myself hungry talking about it.
Man.
But I got to be honest with you. You know, every time I say I'm from Louisiana, people expect me to know how to cook all those dishes. But I'm a musician. I ain't no chef.
Okay. So just go home and get the family to cook it for you. Right?
That's right.
That's the plan. The hotter, the better. Is that the sort of the whole thing with Louisiana cooking?
You know what? If I could rate my spiciness from a 1 to a 10, I'd say about a 7 for me.
Okay.
I do want a little bit of a kick, but I don't want it to be so miserable, you know, I can't eat it.
I was so pumped. I went to Chef Ramsay's burger restaurant in Vegas, And I was so excited because I wanted to try it. It was exciting. And I got the spicy burger, and then it was good, but it was almost too spicy for me. And I was like, man, yeah. I spent a ton of money and I'm sitting here and my eyes are watering, but you don't want anyone to know that your eyes are watering. So you just, it's good. Yeah. It's good. But
I've been there. It's miserable. And then you like feel like you need a glass of milk afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. all right. So talk about your single. It's a little edgy. It's a little cool, a little sassy, right? Is that accurate? Those things accurate when you say, when you talk about, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
You nailed it, man. Yeah. So things a man ought to know, you know, we sat down to write the song and we really got to talking about really like how I was raised. And, you know, before I moved to Nashville, my parents wanted to make sure that I knew some things, you know, before I went out on my own, like had to back up a truck and trailer. You know, I moved to Nashville on a camper. And so they had me weaving my camper in and out of the pine trees in the front yard before I left, like how to change a flat tire, all those things. But we really, you know, started digging a little deeper and started talking about the characteristics that my family taught me to look for in myself, but also in other people. And that's really important, you know, when you're trying to find friends or relationships or people to work with. And so this song is truly, it's just about having good character. It's about, you know, treating people the way that you should be treated and the golden rule. And that's not something that just a man ought to know. That's something that every single one of us ought to know.
Who keeps you grounded in your family? You seem like you have a family structure that is so responsible, that has taught you a lot of things. But with all this fame and all these great opportunities that are coming your way, relatively, I mean, I'm not saying quickly, you've been in Nashville for a long time, but things are starting to blow up. Things are happening now. Yeah. Who's the one that keeps you grounded, that will just once in a while remind you, kind of check yourself and be like, hey, you know?
I have to say my sister, you know, I mean, we're 19 months apart. She's older than me. She definitely has, you know, she of course is my biggest supporter, but she sets me straight. You know, I mean, I'm like, I'll tell you right now, they keep me so grounded. They're like, somebody's got to keep you humble. So they make sure of it. You know, like, it's a funny story. When I got my first song recorded here in town, in Nashville, that was not mine. You know, you call it a cut. So basically I called home and I was like, hey, Jan, I was like, I just got my first cut. And she was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? You need to put a Band-Aid on it. Like, she has no clue, you know, really like the lingo, and she don't really care. I'm just her little sister. And she reminds me all the time, you know, that that I will remain humble no matter what, because she'll get me.
Nice. That is fair. And then when you go home, it's just, you're just back to the regular stuff, right? Like whatever you would normally do with your sisters and with your family, which is really interesting. Yep. Because, I mean, again, it's all happening so quick for you now. I mean, and others, you know, you're doing TV shows now, which must be remarkable. Yep. Like people are, you know, and then just to go back home and it's like, you never left, right? That's got to be so cool.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's almost like my family and the people back at home, you know, I'm from a town of 300 people. It's just like they welcome me with open arms. It's almost like they forget that I do what I do. And yeah, when I come home, my daddy puts me to work. He's like, hey, I got a tractor that needs driving. You know, I'm doing it just, and that's the cool part about it is, you know, I can go home and just really kind of like just pick up and just, you know, be normal for a little bit. And that feels good. But, you know, I love what I do, but also I think it's important to remember where you came from.
International Women's Day should be every day, but we're just celebrating it. And do you have any female country artists that maybe that you either one look up to, or two maybe that have been helping you along the way as you get this crazy country music journey going?
Absolutely. So, of course, I love Miss Dolly Parton. I don't know anybody who don't love Dolly. Everything about her, her style, her sense of humor, her personality. She's just incredibly talented. But aside from that, you know, I feel like she's got a heart of gold. I've not met her just yet, but I cannot wait. I think her and I'll just hit it off. But somebody who like came to my mind right when you said that, somebody who's one of my best friends here in town and who is really kind of paving the way for women in country music, is Ashley McBride. And she has been so good to me. She, there's this one story in particular, you know, we were on the road, I believe somewhere in Texas, and we had had a little bit of whiskey. And I remember her literally just telling me, she was like, Wayne, she said, you know, I want to take your hand and I want to help you over this wall. She said, but you got to promise me that when you find somebody who you love and believe in as much as I do you, that you do the same exact thing for them. And that is a moment right there that I will never forget. That is really and truly what Nashville is all about. And it's just about supporting each other and loving each other through it, the ups and downs, and feeling like you've got a support system. And so I'm very, very thankful for Ashley McBride.
She is tremendous. And I've heard that about her before. And it's just, you guys are a big group of people, and some are further ahead and some are a little bit behind just because of when they come to Nashville or their breaks or whatever. But you guys really do help each other. It's just remarkable.
That's right.
You know, it's
a team effort.
It's not a, I mean, it is a competition. And of course you want to win the awards and you want all this stuff, but if you don't, you're just as happy, right? Like, it's just,
oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm so thankful that I get to do this for a living. You know, there's a lot of people in the world who don't get to do what they love to do. And I'm fortunate that, you know, that I've had people who have seen something in me when I didn't even see it in myself. Mm-hmm. And somebody who just, you know, just a team of people who like love me for what I do, but also just love me as a person. And that's so important.
I love that you mentioned drinking whiskey, because I know one of your buddies likes whiskey too, Megan Patrick. And I've heard that you guys have, you know, there's been no whiskey consumed between the two of you guys, I am sure.
Oh, heck no. Heck no. Megan Patrick whiskey? No. Oh,
not a chance. does she sort of fill you in about Canada a little bit, or how'd you guys become friends?
Yeah. So, you know, we became friends probably about 3.5 years ago now. And to be honest with you, I don't know what I did without Megan Patrick before. I mean, she truly has become one of my like just best friends. I tell everybody that she would fight a grizzly bear for me.
And she'd win. And she would win.
You're right.
Yeah.
She could take on like 3 or 4 grizzly bears.
And I think I don't know her as well as you, but I feel that she would take on 3 or 4 grizzly bears, win, and then just walk over and get some whiskey and not even really mention
it. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. This is normal.
Yeah, that's exactly what she'd do.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, like, don't mess with Megan Patrick, and don't mess with Megan Patrick's friends, because she'll get you. I mean, but for real, I love her, and I'm just such a fan of what she does, and I'm so proud of her. And we talk about all the time, you know, doing shows up in Canada together. So I can't wait for that. And, you know,
have you been up here?
You know what? I've only been to Niagara Falls.
Wow. Well, at least you got to go. See, we always say that we have the better side of the falls. You know, but you have to get up here and do a tour. And Megan would be someone you'd have a great time touring with, right? Because she's established in Canada. So it would just be kind of a cool, you know, cool fit. Your song, I didn't check this morning, but it is in the U.S. right now. It's getting close to the top 40s, right?
You know what? It's like changing every single day. It's jumping up and back and sideways. I hadn't even looked at it this morning either, but it should be getting pretty close to to that. Blows my mind.
It must just be like, what? Like, really? Like me? Like this is happening. Has there been a moment, and maybe it's a TV show that you got to be on or something you've done, where it's sort of sinking in a little bit that, wow, hey, wait, maybe things are sort of popping a little bit with this song? Like, have you had a show or an engagement that you had to do that you're like, wow, I can't believe this is happening?
For sure. For me, that would probably be playing the Grand Ole Opry.
I didn't realize we had a chance to do that.
Oh, my gosh, man. Wow. It was, you know, I got to do my debut on February 14th of 2020, but then this past week I got to play for the second time, and I was just as nervous, just as excited, honored. That for me right there was a moment, not just the first time, but the second time I played too. It's just a reminder that, like, wow, like, I'm really, like, doing this thing, you know? I mean, my parents took me on a family vacation to Gatlinburg when I was 9 years old, and they took me to the Opry on the way home to Louisiana in Nashville, and I remember seeing Bill Anderson and Crystal Gayle and Phil Vassar, little Jimmy Dickens, and I remember like dreaming about being up there on that stage, and to be able to stand there on that stage and look at that same seat that I was sitting in when I was 9 years old is pretty surreal, and it's just such a blessing. And you know, I mean, it's definitely one of those times in my career where I'm like, wow, like this is what I have been dreaming about since I was a little girl, and this is actually happening. What in the world?
I don't know how you sing your first couple of notes at the Opry. Just that history.
Ooh.
And just walking out, I would be afraid that nothing would come out. I would just, or I would just want to stand there and take it in and then forget that I'm supposed to sing. That's.
I'm telling you, man. And what's so crazy is too, like, you know, I was, of course, extremely nervous, pacing back and forth behind the stage, and just, like, you know, took me a little shot of whiskey, and just trying to get the nerves out. But the crazy thing is as soon as I stepped foot onto that stage and I just, like, got into that circle, it's almost like this weird sense of peace, like, filled my entire body, and I felt like I was at home. And that also right there is a feeling of, like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be in life, you know?
So what's going on now for you? Hopefully this COVID, we're getting on the other side of it and things might open up soon. Do you have anything planned? Can people watch you virtually? I mean, people are all fired up now. They might just want to listen to your accent, but they definitely are going to want to hear you sing more. Where can people see you?
Yeah, so, you know, we do have a few shows booked in April. I had just gotten off of the Justin Moore Tracy Lawrence tour when the shutdown happened, so we are finishing a few dates with them. And then I do see some things popping up on the calendar for June. Hopefully, you know, they stay on there and we can figure this out and get back on the road. But, yes, I'm trying to stay as connected as I possibly can to my people and my fans. And so I'm always on social media. I'm on TikTok. I've been tick-a-talking. I've been doing it all. So y'all be sure to just check out all my socials, Lainey Wilson Music on Instagram and Facebook, and LaineyWilson.com. And I'll just keep y'all updated about live streams that I do, because I'm all about doing those.
Oh, that's great. And then TikTok was such an important part of your upcoming too, right? Like, that is such a tool. There is so many great artists that are being found on TikTok now.
Oh man, it's crazy. You know, of course, when they put out, you know, like new platforms and stuff like that, it's hard to get on there and learn the ins and the outs and stuff. But I really have taken this time during quarantine just to get to know it. And, you know, I figured this will be a good way for people to find out about me and my music, you know, in a different way. So I've just been trying to be creative. I can get on there and be crazy. I mean, I'm already crazy, but I'll be a little crazier. And it's been great.
Awesome. This has been great. Lainey, we'll keep in touch and we'll keep watching your single, and we can't wait to see you up in Canada.
Thank you so much, my friend.
That's Lainey Wilson, and hopefully you'll check out her single. Trying something new on the podcast this week. We're going to try to get some live performances. And the first one is from a guy. If we're going to have Lainey Wilson on with a great Louisiana accent, we might as well have Justin Fancy on with an incredible Newfoundland accent.
So awesome. Happy to be here, as always.
I don't even know. I was trying to think of a cool, clever name for this part of the podcast, and I don't. So I guess we'll just call it Awesome People Playing an Awesome Song. That's
what we're I like it. I like it.
Real quick, you are from Newfoundland. Which part?
Conception Bay South. Pretty much the most easterly point in North America.
Awesome. How many great big sea songs can you cover without even thinking about it?
I would say about 15.
You have to, right? It has to be in there. Also, this thing is going on online right now. People are talking about their celebrity encounters. Give me a celebrity encounter you had. Who was someone you met that was a celebrity, and how did it go?
Jim Cotty. I would call him a celebrity, a Canadian celebrity for sure. I met him at a concert one night. My buddy had some tickets and knew him well, and we got backstage and had a few beers. It was a great experience for me.
All right. And then you have a new song coming out in the next week or so, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. March 26th. Makes Me Want. It's the third track off my debut album.
It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks from, I guess. So anyway. Oh, yeah. And one more thing. Hot spot to go for St. Patrick's Day in Newfoundland. You guys know how to party. How do you narrow it down when it's a normal year?
It's George Street. Everything is George Street. When there's a party, it's George Street. I can't say anything other than that.
Tell us a bit about the song you're going to play.
Yes, I wrote it last March. I was in the middle of recording an album, and of course, we had something called COVID hit us, and I spent a lot of time songwriting. I wrote three songs on the record that I had proposed to do a year before that, so I got some inspiration from the whole pandemic and being home and just picking up my guitar. The song is basically about breaking up with someone and trying to get over them. And that's the gist of what the song really is.
Having beers with my friends, with you on the back door of my mind. That night, last night, it sure was a good time. Those days have gone where we would stay up till the break of dawn, living life on the edge, 'cause I'm wrapped up in you now. Every time I hear that country song, I'm thinking about the good times that we had alone. I don't know what my life, I don't know what my life is, but it sure means a good time now. Singing it up and grooving it down, making songs and making love go round and round. Is this what life is all about? 'Cause it sure means a good time now. Yeah, sure means a good time now. When I was young, I used to pray for Friday to come now, 'cause I wanted a little time with my friends. Then I met you, all I want is peace, a little dine and a bottle of wine. I get helping, 'cause it sure meets a good time now. Every time I hear that country song, I'm thinking about the good times we had alone. I don't know where my life, I don't know where my life is, but it sure meets a good time now. Singing it up and grooving it down, making songs and making love go round and round. Is this what life is all about? 'Cause it sure meets a good time now. Yeah. It's a good time now. Whoa. Maybe life got us curveballs, that's so true. Maybe life got a way to make it slow down, 'cause there are reasons for this life, yeah. Every time I hear that country song, I'm thinking about the good times we had alone. I don't know what my life, I don't know what my life is, but it sure beats a good time now. Singing it up and grooving it down, making songs and making love go round and round. Is this what life is all about? 'Cause it sure beats a good time now. Yeah, it sure beats a good time now. Making love, making love go around. Yeah, yeah, sure beats a good time now.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.